Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld today predicted the Bush administration would win the day in its battle to terminate the cruiser artillery system. But the victory may come at a cost. Some army leaders who have long supported the crusader feel that their views have not been adequately considered. As NPR's Tom Gelton reports, the disagreement over the crusader is just the latest example of tension between civilian leaders and senior military officers at the Pentagon.
The dispute over the Crusader focused only partly on the artillery system itself, whether the benefits it'll bring to the battlefield justify its $11 billion price tag. Another big issue is how the decision to cancel the Crusader was made. At a Senate hearing yesterday, Democrat Carl Levin of Michigan wanted the Army Chief of Staff, General Eric Shinseki, to say how he found out the gun was being killed.
I was informed of that 7 or 8 May by the Secretary of the Army.
Were you surprised?
I was surprised that it was terminated.
You weren't consulted prior to that decision relative to termination?
Not to terminate.
And you know of anybody, any uniformed member of the Army that was consulted prior to that decision to terminate Crusader?
I am not personally aware of anyone.
That exchange goes to the heart of an issue that has hung over Donald Rumsfeld since he came to the Pentagon early last year. Does he really pay attention to the military leadership here, the uniformed officers who lead the armed services? Army General Gordon Sullivan dealt with 3 secretaries of defense in his tenure as the Army Chief of Staff here from 1991 to 1995. Now retired, he says it's important for the civilian and military leaders in the Pentagon to maintain respectful relations.
It's like dealing with children. It's like dealing with any human being. If that person feels as if their advice is not valued and it's not accepted, and we're speaking hypothetically here, and you can run all the way from your children or your dealings with anyone, then I think that person begins to feel as if they're not being respected for their experience and their level of responsibilities. And the system starts to break down.
One senior military officer who deals on a daily basis with the civilian leadership here says he and other uniformed people sometimes feel like, quote, second-class citizens. He says it's like, okay, thanks for your opinion, now go away. That officer says he's talking not so much about Donald Rumsfeld himself as about what he calls a disdainful culture at the whole civilian leadership level. But part of the issue may be Rumsfeld's undeniably tough management style. He's not afraid to criticize senior military officers in public. When Army General William Kernan 2 months ago testified that, in his opinion, current military operations had left U.S. forces exhausted, Rumsfeld took Kernan to task at a Pentagon news briefing.
I think it would be a fundamental misunderstanding for him to think, or for anyone to take his words and believe, that the men and women in uniform around the world for the United States would even begin to fit that characterization. They don't. And it's a disservice to them to leave that impression, in my view.
In that same briefing, Rumsfeld chastised a Navy admiral for having revealed that the war in Afghanistan had depleted the supply of precision munitions. He should have known better, Rumsfeld said. General officers may not be used to that kind of public treatment, but Rumsfeld insists it does not mean he lacks respect for them. In an interview with radio reporters in his personal conference room today, Rumsfeld said he maintains easy and informal relations with senior military leaders.
In this room is where we meet, the senior military leadership and the senior civilian leadership. I've never gone back and counted, but I would guess I've had more hours in this room with the senior military leadership in this building than many secretaries have had in an entire tour.
Rumsfeld came here last year with a mission to transform the U.S. military. He has said many times that change is not easy, and he admits that he sometimes makes people uncomfortable. But he also says he knows he cannot simply command reform.
When I first came here, people said, gee, why don't you start firing people? Why don't you start shutting down programs? And I said, look, I'm just not smart enough to do that. I've got to sit down and gauge these people who I respect, and that's what we've done. Now, I'm perfectly willing to make decisions after I've done that.
The civilian-military relationship at the Pentagon has varied widely over the years. The most difficult period in recent history was probably during the 1960s, when then-Defense Secretary Robert McNamara was openly contemptuous of military officers. During the Clinton administration, on the other hand, many military officers found it hard to respect a commander-in-chief who had not himself served in the military and whose first initiative as president was to push to allow gays to serve in the military. Richard Cohn, an expert on civilian-military relations at the University of North Carolina, says Bush administration officials came into office last year feeling they needed to reassert civilian control over the military. But he says the current Pentagon leadership needs to move carefully.
We've paid a generation for Robert McNamara's Byzantine maneuverings with the military and kind of arrogance. And there are tendencies of that in the present civilian leadership of the Pentagon. It's not the proper way to exert civilian control. You have to listen to the military people and take them seriously and probe them and question them, because they're the ones who really have the military expertise. They're the ones who have the understanding of the way in which policy is connected to operations.
Some of the most ardent military reformers, on the other hand, argue that Donald Rumsfeld and other Pentagon leaders need to be tough on the uniformed leadership. John Hillen is a former military officer who co-wrote some of George W. Bush's campaign speeches on military issues. In assessing Rumsfeld's sometimes difficult relations with general officers here, Hillen goes back to Rumsfeld's driving idea that the U.S. military needs to change.
This inherently is an uncomfortable message, and then I think the way that Secretary Rumsfeld has played that out over the course of his tenure as Secretary of Defense has reinforced this message simply by saying, I'm in charge, we're going to change things in the Pentagon, and frankly, you're probably not change agents because you created the system we want to change in the first place. And I think that is a bad starting place for relationship building, if you will, but it is a good starting place for having a revolution at the Pentagon.
Arguments like that bother retired General Gordon Sullivan, now the president of the Association of the U.S. Army. Sullivan says he does understand the rules of the Pentagon game.
The military people get to state their position, and then the civilians make the decision, and we move on. And I understand how the game works, but I would expect, as one who did it for 36 years of his life, that in the process, everyone is respected and is not just written off as some troglodyte from the deep, dark past.
The battle over the Crusader is likely just the first of a series of disputes over what weapons systems to buy. In the coming months, there could be other arguments as well, over when to move against Saddam Hussein in Iraq, for example. And as these questions are thrashed out, the civilian and military leaders here will be working out a new relationship for this era. Tom Gelton, NPR News, The Pentagon.